High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Spectrum Internet has enough speed to handle all your needs, so you can work, game, and stream with speeds up to a gig. Plus, Spectrum's advanced Wi-Fi provides enhanced security for all your connected devices. Get Spectrum Internet with fast and reliable speeds, starting at just $29.99 a month with a 2-year price guarantee. Visit spectrum.com/internet for you for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is the VSiN Hockey Betting Podcast with VSiN's hockey betting analyst, Andy McNeil. Here is Danny Burke.
It is finally over, folks. The Vegas Golden Knights are victorious, overcoming the Florida Panthers. And now Vegas is your new Stanley Cup Finals champion, winning 9-3 in Game 5. They win the series in 5 games. I'm Danny Burke. Alongside me is Andy McNeil. Welcome into VSiN's Hockey Betting Podcast. It's been a fun year, fun postseason. It is finally concluded with the Golden Knights coming out on top. Andy's able to cash in his VGK series ticket at -130. Also cashed in Mark Stone, who had the Hattie over 2.5 shots on goal.
Oh my God. I got to talk about that right away, because he has 2 shots and 2 goals on those 2 shots. The end of the game, the Panthers pull Sergei Bobrovsky. Why? I don't know, but they pull Sergei Bobrovsky, and Stone has 3, you know, attempts at the empty net from the almost the full length of the ice, and misses the first two, hits the post on the first one. And, you know, you couldn't have hit the post any squarer than he did, you know, just, you know, so close to being a shot on goal. And then he misses the second one, and then he finally gets it on the third one. So that's a, you know, it wasn't a memorable bet, because it wasn't a big bet or anything like that. But I'll definitely always remember cashing that Mark Stone shot prop, just because of how it happened.
Hey, any way you can get it, we'll take it, baby. Nicely done. As for myself, I also cashed in the VGK series ticket -125 and the -1.5 series spread at +175. So all in all, a good finals for Andy and myself. After we've been kind of naysaying Vegas throughout the entire postseason, we finally hop on the bandwagon and the boys come through for us. But wow, Andy, just another dominating performance out of Vegas. Evolving Hockey had VGK 6.88 expected goals in all situations, compared to Florida's 2.55 last night. And then with 5-on-5, Vegas was at about 4.91, Florida at 2.62. Panthers still went the entire finals with no goal on the power play. I mean, they went 0-14. I mean, credit to Vegas for just being beyond outstanding on the penalty kill. Heck, they get a shorty to start things off. And man, it was Vegas all from that point on. It got a little dicey, I guess, when it was 2-1, but then the Golden Knights took care of business, Andy. And this team, I mean, maybe not the flashiest, but wow, they came out, they were tough every night, and they were very well disciplined. And you saw the depth on example, or rather on display, every single outing.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about discipline. I think, I think Vegas, what they did really well was, you know, when they did get hemmed in their own zone, which happened quite a bit because they were leading so much in the series. And when you're leading, you tend to go into that kind of defensive shell and maybe give up some more chances off the forecheck and some more, you know, extended zone time to the opposition than you would if you were trailing and you're really kind of battling for every square inch of ice. But I think Vegas did a really good job of just, you know, staying even, not getting too panicky in their own zone. And then when Florida did make a mistake and they were too aggressive on the forecheck, Vegas was always able to turn it around the other way in transition, go up the ice, create two-on-ones, three-on-twos, breakaways, etc. And, you know, that really helped them as well. And I thought that was just, you know, showed a lot of discipline on their part, knowing that, hey, Florida's really going to bring it here. They have a good forecheck. They're really good at cycling the puck in the zone when they get that zone time, especially when they have their top players on the ice. But as long as, you know, they keep their composure, the Golden Knights defense, and, you know, stay in position, that they can turn it around on the Panthers. And they did that in the series.
Andy, what did you make of Tkachuk being absent in game 5? How big of a difference to you was that after watching the game, or how different would the outcome have been in your mind if he was present?
Yeah, I don't know that the outcome would have been a lot different, but because if he was present, he would have still been, you know, obviously very injured, a fractured sternum. I'm not a medical expert, but I imagine that's one of the more painful fractures that a guy can play with, because, I mean, we've all had the wind knocked out of us, and that's pretty much, you know, what the area we're talking about. And I mean, I remember when I was a kid, Bret Hart always talked about how he had his sternum broken by Dino Bravo in a wrestling match, and it was like the most painful injury he ever suffered, and felt like, you know, couldn't breathe, etc. And Matthew Tkachuk, apparently he needed help getting dressed for game 4. I'm gonna guess that he probably had trouble getting his shoulder pads on, he probably had trouble putting his jersey on, right? And I mean, the fact that he played in game 4 is crazy in hindsight. And I guess, you know, if we had known that was the injury, knew it was an upper body injury to some extent. But I mean, if we knew that was the injury, I don't think I wouldn't have given him a chance of playing in game 5. And I don't think the outcome would have been different. Maybe the score would have been, you know, the margin of victory wouldn't have been as wide, but still, like I said, he wouldn't have been much of a factor with that type of injury. So it probably still would have been a dominating Vegas win.
Yeah, and overall this postseason, helping Vegas get to the very end out on top was Aiden Hill, who concluded his postseason run 13.13 goals save above expected. Obviously, Bobrovsky did not have the best finals, but he ends up at 19.44 goals save above expected. Andy, what's probably your biggest takeaway from each team now that this series, again, has concluded, both from the Vegas side and Florida side? What is your biggest takeaway from each?
Well, from the Vegas side, it's just their depth, and it was shining all playoffs long. They tore through opposing goaltenders, and they obviously put a big emphasis on that in game 5 with the 8 goals they scored on Bobrovsky. So, just the way they got scoring from so many different players. I mean, it was a bit of a lucky run in the sense that everything kind of went right for them. I mean, you look back at that Oilers series, and there was a few points where things could have went Edmonton's way, and we would have been talking about a different team going on a playoff run, right? So you need that in the playoffs, but I just think Vegas, you know, at the end of the day, they found a way to get scoring from throughout their lineup all playoffs long. It didn't stop, and the fact that they did that for 2 months is incredible. So that's the takeaway for Vegas. The takeaway for Florida is that they are a lot better than they were in the regular season. I think they, you know, really have an identity now as a team that can beat you on the forecheck, on the rush. And you know, their defensive abilities were probably maybe not best accentuated in the regular season, and in the playoffs is a different type of hockey. And Florida's defense was maybe built for that, which is a good thing, I guess. But I mean, it's going to be it's going to take a bit of time for me to, you know, kind of sum up my thoughts on the season and start to look forward. But I would imagine both of these teams will be back in contention in 2022-23.
All right. Well, let's get into next year's Stanley Cup championship odds, baby, because you know that DraftKings and other books already have those posted and have for quite some time. But just to list some of them off, your Boston Bruins, Andy, are at the top of the list, along with the Avalanche over at DraftKings at 8-1 to win next year's Stanley Cup. The Toronto Maple Leafs at 9-1. Edmonton Oilers 10-1. The Devils, Hurricanes, both at 12-1. The current champs right now, the Vegas Golden Knights 13-1. The Rangers and Panthers 14-1. Tampa Bay 16, along with the Stars. And then the Flames, just to round out some of the top teams, are at 20-1. Now, I, of course, have not even thought about really next year that much, Andy, and looking into some bets. But this is the time right after a team wins that people do take a glance at it, maybe take a stab at a team or two. I don't know if you've have bet anything, if you're looking toward betting any of these teams, but maybe some squads who you're keeping an eye on for when we get closer to the year, who would crack that list for you?
I have not made any futures bets yet. And like you, I'm, you know, not really thinking about 2023-24 yet at this time of year. And I mean, in past years, I'll have a bit of a summary of some of my thoughts and maybe some of my, you know, kind of a look ahead towards next season up on VSiN.com. But I'm, you know, it's going to take time. There's so many things to consider. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people miss and a lot of casual bettors miss, maybe, is that just how much there is to consider. And when, you know, you predict good things or bad things for a team, you maybe don't take into account as much, you know, what's happening around them and some of the changes that are happening around them in terms of teams moving up or down in the forecasting sense. So I look at this offseason and the free agency class, not all that interesting. And, you know, we probably put too much weight on free agents anyways, as far as, you know, the difference they make in the long-term outlook of a team. But I think you look at the trade market, it's really interesting. And, you know, there's one team that's continued to be talked about that, you know, depending on what they do, they could send shockwaves throughout the league, because the Winnipeg Jets are rumored to be shopping Connor Hellebuck, Mark Scheifele, and Pierre-Luc Dubois. So Dubois, the rumors are that we could see a situation like we saw with Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary, where the Flames sign him to a long-term extension and then immediately trade him, a sign-and-trade deal. With Scheifele, not really sure what the status of that is. Just hear his name is out there. Does not surprise me. Hellebuck, what they're saying is that Hellebuck's next contract will not be with the Winnipeg Jets. So the Winnipeg Jets look like they're, you know, on the way down. But I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois is an impact player. If he goes to somewhere like Montreal or another Eastern Conference team, could really, really change the complexion of, you know, not just the conference, but, you know, a division two and a team's outlook. And the same goes for Scheifele to a lesser extent. And then obviously, where does it leave the Winnipeg Jets? And, you know, I think there are a bunch of examples like this. Toronto, the Maple Leafs core four, where does that kind of shake out? Are all of those players back next season? It sounds like that's what is going to happen in Toronto, but we don't know. And of course, my Boston Bruins, as you say, I've disowned them. I'm a Vegas Golden Knights fan now. The Bruins, like, what do they do? They've got a lot of question marks. We've heard Linus Ulmark's name tossed around. The likely Vezina Trophy winner. So you look at Toronto, some questions. Boston, some questions. The Senators, Alex DeBrincat, just picked him up last year in a trade before the season, and he's already rumored to be on his way out of Ottawa. So where does he land? He's a guy that scored 40 goals twice in his young career already. I believe he's only 25 years old, and still in the Atlantic Division, the Sabres. What do they do with their goaltending? Apparently they're one of the teams that are, you know, out there that could potentially be in the running for a guy like Connor Hellebuck. The Senators, back to the Senators for a sec. Cam Talbot not going to be back, apparently. Already, you know, he was told that he won't be back. So they're, you know, just in the Atlantic Division alone, like, how do you predict that right now, right? I mean, a lot could happen, and I think there are a lot of situations like that around the league in each division, some more than others. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how things shake out at the draft. And last year's draft was really entertaining with you know, the Senators making big moves, the Canadians making some big moves. So I'm really interested to see where things shake out at the draft and in the weeks that follow.
What stood out to you the most that we know so far, or maybe that you're expecting to occur in terms of the coaching carousel and all the alterations we've seen with that personnel for the head coaching going forward in the National Hockey League, Andy?
Well, you know, at first blush, and I'm not really familiar with any of the coaches, I've got to do some research here, but I'll quickly run through them. Obviously, we know Peter Laviolette, don't have to say a lot here. He was let go by Washington after they missed the playoffs. He's the new head coach of the Rangers, who fired Gerard Gallant at the end of the season. Ryan Huska has been named the head coach of the Calgary Flames. He's been a coach in the organization since 2014-15. Most recently served as an assistant under Daryl Sutter. At first blush, I'm like, you know, what changes there if he was on Sutter's staff, right? So I'll have to do some research and find out what Huska's game plan is. Greg Cronin, hired by the Ducks, lots of experience. I believe he's 60 years old. Doesn't really look like it, but one of the co-founders of the U.S. National Team Development Program back in the early 90s, I believe. He's coming out of the Avalanche organization. He led their AHL affiliate, the Colorado Eagles, to the playoffs in 4 out of 5 seasons. The only season he didn't make it was the COVID season, so maybe give him a break there. But he helped a lot of young players make their NHL debuts with the Avalanche over that stretch. And, you know, he's a guy that Anaheim's bringing in, hoping that they can develop their young players, you know, in a positive way. But outside of that, Andrew Brunette with the Predators, obviously he was let go by the Panthers, or he left the Panthers. I'm not sure really what happened there. I believe he was offered some sort of position inside the organization, but not like a prominent position on the staff, the coaching staff, when they hired Paul Maurice. So he decided to leave, went to New Jersey, did well there. And then next up is Blue Jackets. They will reportedly hire Mike Babcock, who has not coached in the NHL since the 2018-19 season. He was behind the bench for 23 games for the Maple Leafs, but was fired after he faced a bunch of accusations of mistreating some players. So still yet to hear an announcement on that, but I think there's some contract stuff going on there that's holding that up. But the most interesting one to me at first glance is Spencer Carberry. He spent the 2022-23 season as an assistant coach with the Maple Leafs, but he came up through the leagues in the Capitals organization, coaching in the minor leagues. He was named the AHL Coach of the Year in 2020-21 after coaching the Hershey Bears, the Capitals AHL affiliate, to a first-place finish, and they were in last place when he took over the team. So I think that's a really interesting hire. There's like a lot of familiarity there. Washington was the team that I was high on heading into the season. Not in a way that like I thought they were a team on the rise. I just thought they had underperformed in the previous year, and I thought, you know, they're usually a team that is top 10 on offense, etc. Darcy Kuemper had a good season from goal saved above expective perspective, but I think Washington is a team that could benefit from a new coach and somebody who has a new style and maybe can kind of bring them into the modern world with how they play. They weren't a very good dynamic team last year. And I think that a fresh young voice in the room could really, really change things in a positive direction for them.
All right. Good stuff, Andy. Again, folks, at Digital Gambler, where you can catch Andy on the tweets. He'll keep you updated with his thoughts and some of the biggest moves throughout the NHL offseason, again on Twitter at Digital Gambler, at Danny Burke 5 for myself. Andy, last thing I got for you, my man, and then feel free to take the floor if you've got anything else you want to add. But I always, at the end of whatever sport it is at the end of the year, kind of reflect and look back and go, all right, what are some betting strategies that I liked, that I didn't like, that I may look to hone in on more so going into next year, that I may look to be more cautious with? For example, I mean, I feel like every year that it's getting expanded more so in terms of sports betting being legalized throughout the country and just competition coming about, you get more options on a game-to-game basis with some of these props and unique ways you can bet a lot of these sports. And hockey, not being the biggest sport here in the United States, but certainly trending in that direction, is expounding their betting palette. And I think that's just something that I'm looking to key on even more so with those team total shots on goal props, player shots on goal props. A lot of those things are something I think in general that I'm probably looking to attack a little bit more so going forward into the upcoming seasons. And then maybe something else would be first period totals. I feel like I only really focused on those, and not even that much, but only more so when we get into the postseason since the schedule of games is narrowed down. But that's probably something I don't want to attack more so in the upcoming season would be the first period totals. And then again, just trying to get as deep and find as many angles with these props, whether it's team or players, as much as I can. But what about you, my man? What were some of your biggest things that you looked at this past season and went, yeah, I'm going to try to focus on that more so in terms of my wagering, or maybe something that you go, well, that didn't work as well, maybe I'll try to adjust going forward?
Yeah, I'm going to vet my entire process and you know, go through everything from how I've handled home ice to how I've, you know, maybe handled, you know, some things like rest and fatigue, but probably starting from scratch in a lot of ways. Not I shouldn't say starting from scratch, but definitely going to revisit how I've done a lot of things. But I mean, it's as far as reflecting goes, it's going to take a little bit of time for me to digest everything. It's a long season, and I don't necessarily come at things as, like, I'm not much of an angle shooter. For me, it's always been price markets, find an edge, try to grind out a profit. And, you know, that doesn't make for the most compelling advice. But, I mean, I have a lot of people reach out to me and ask me, like, hey, I'm trying to price hockey games and things like that. And, I mean, it's in 2023, it's you're far behind if you're just starting out, right? And you've got to kind of come into it with that. So, yeah, look for, like you said, markets, smaller markets that you can maybe attack that maybe aren't offered at every sports book, but are offered at some sports books. Like, I know you found some of those team shots on goal that are, you know, not necessarily widely available, but that's a good thing for the people that they are available to, assuming you can get to the good numbers first. Obviously there might be some more competition for that. It's a smaller pool. And if there are, you know, a few sharps in a small pool, it can get pretty competitive to race to those numbers. And then, you know, you take into account the what's your lifespan trying to bet stuff like that. So it's constantly evolving, constantly changing. But as far as, you know, just general strategy, it'll be, you know, just kind of going through everything with a fine tooth comb, and maybe I'll know more in a couple of weeks as far as what I can improve on and what I maybe have to, what I maybe have to double down on.
Awesome stuff, folks. That's from Andy McNeil, who you can follow on Twitter at Digital Gambler. The man did tremendous work, as he always does, all season long. Andy, it's been a pleasure doing the podcast with you. Couldn't ask for a better partner. And we ended on a high note, baby. So can't complain about that, my friend.
Yeah. Thanks, man. It's been a great year, and enjoyed working with you every day in the playoffs, just about every day in the playoffs. And, you know, obviously, like everybody, I'm wishing you will have a great summer. And yeah, don't speed through school zones. You know, be nice to cats. They're actually a lot more friendly than people think. I don't know. Don't drink and drive. That's another good one. Wear a helmet when you ride your bike. That's probably some good advice. But yeah, I don't have a whole lot of insight heading into the summer, but I think we did a pretty good job breaking down the betting markets each day.
No doubt, man. It was a blast as always. Look at that. Andy McNeil, a big cat guy now after the Panthers treated him well throughout the playoffs, my friend. Can't complain about that. But again, it was an absolute pleasure. It was fun doing this. Like you said, pretty much almost every weekday during the postseason. So looking forward to doing more of this going forward. Big shout out to everybody at VSiN, our producer, Steven, for helping us out as well. Big shout out to everybody out there who subscribed, listened, tailed, whatever it may have been. We really are thankful for you listening into this podcast every time we released it, and hope you enjoyed the season and the postseason just as much as we did. But for Andy McNeil and for myself, Danny Burke, our final time signing off here for quite a while on VSiN's Hockey Betting Podcast. Until next time, take care, folks.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sort, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone, goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at High Five Casino.
.com. High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Watch sensational Grand Slam action on Tennis Channel as top stars clash at Roland Garros in Paris. Catch all the excitement.
What a shot! Come on now!
With Tennis Channel's comprehensive coverage as we bring you live matches and nightly encores, plus match previews.
That is awesome!
Don't miss one of the greatest events in all of sports, Roland Garros, the French Open. Daily live coverage on Tennis Channel, now through June 9th.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.